Welcome to Defenders, the teaching class of Dr. William Lane Craig. Today, the Doctrine of Creation, Part 3. For more resources from Dr. Craig, go to reasonablefaith.org.
Well, let's go to our lesson. We've been looking at the biblical testimony to the doctrine of creatio ex nihilo, and I argued that in the Old Testament, we have creation out of nothing clearly affirmed. Especially significant is Proverbs 8, which reflects on the creation narrative in Genesis 1, and which says, even before the depths were brought forth, God's wisdom was with him and created the depths. And the depths are mentioned in Genesis 1 and verse 2 as their as the condition of the earth when it was first created by God. And God existed with his wisdom even prior to that. Now, in the intertestamental period, the doctrine of creatio ex nihilo comes to be literally affirmed. For example, in the book of 2 Maccabees, this is a book that's part of the Old Testament Apocrypha. It's in Catholic Bibles, but not in Protestant Bibles. It is an intertestamental Jewish writing. And in chapter 7 and verse 28, it says, observe heaven and earth, and consider all that is in them, and acknowledge that God made them out of what did not exist, and that mankind comes into being in the same way. So by this intertestamental time, at least, we see an affirmation in Judaism of creation out of nothing. And the New Testament continues the affirmation that God has created the world out of nothing. Let's look at some passages. First, from Paul, Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. Paul says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. So everything that exists, Paul says, has its origination with God. It exists through him, and he is the goal of everything that exists. He is the beginning and the end of all things that exist. And so in chapter 4 of Romans, Paul is able to say the following. Chapter 4 and verse 17, referring to Abraham, he says, in the presence of the God in whom Abraham believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. God is the one who gives life to the dead. He raises the dead. He calls into being the things that do not exist. So there is creation out of nothing. God simply brings them into existence. Also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 3, Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear. That is to say, what we see around us, the observable world, was not made out of phenomena, things that appear. The world was made by God, but not out of things which appear, or phenomena, which is an affirmation, again, of creation out of nothing. And then finally, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 is the praise given to God by the blessed in heaven. Worthy art thou, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and by thy will they existed and were created. So anything that exists, everything that exists apart from God himself, exists by God's will and was created by him. So the New Testament continues the pattern of affirming that God is the creator of everything that exists outside himself, and that therefore the world is created out of nothing. The principal contribution of the New Testament to the doctrine of creation is its ascription of creation to Christ as the second person of the Trinity. This is the what's been called the cosmic Christ. Christ not in his incarnation, but rather in his role as the creator of everything. Let's look at some passages that refer to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Very interesting verse. He says, "For us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we exist." So here we have interesting prepositions characterizing creation. God is the one from whom all things exist, and for whom they exist, the goal. And then Jesus Christ is the one through whom all things exist, through whom these things come into being. So Christ is the instrument, the instrumental cause of creation. And this is not a doctrine peculiar to Paul. This is clearly expressed in the prologue to John's Gospel. Look at John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "In the beginning was the Word," and this will later be identified with Jesus Christ. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. And then verse 3, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So here, Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Word of God, is described as being in the beginning with God and is the one through whom the world is created. Also, Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I'll begin reading with verse 15. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him," in Christ, "all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Here we have this image again of the cosmic Christ, who is the creator of everything, not only the physical realm, but even the spiritual realms of angels and powers and principalities. All of these things come into being through Christ and were created through him. And finally, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "In these last days he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power." So here Christ again is described as the one through whom God has created the world. He reflects God's glory, and the author uses the image here of a king who presses the image of his ring into wax, say on a letter or a seal that the king is sending, an official document. And he says that Christ bears the very stamp of God's nature, just as the wax bears the stamp of the king's signet ring, upholding the universe by his word of power. Christ holds the universe in existence. He not only created it, but he upholds it as well. So you have in the New Testament this augmentation of the Jewish doctrine of creation ex nihilo by ascribing it to Christ. And the fact that this doctrine is found in such diverse authors in the New Testament, in Paul, in John, in the book of Hebrews, shows that this isn't some peculiar or idiosyncratic doctrine. This is a widespread doctrine in the early church that Christ is the agent of creation. He is the one through whom the world and all spiritual realms were brought into being. Well, that completes the survey of the biblical data that I wanted to look at. What we'll do next time that we're together is begin to do a systematic summary of the doctrine of creation ex nihilo. And I will first attempt to define and delineate what the doctrine of creatio ex nihilo affirms, and then we'll begin to look at philosophical and scientific reasons to affirm this doctrine. So, until next time.
The copyright for the content of this recording is held by Dr. William Lane Craig. For more, go to reasonablefaith.org.